everybody, including you, including me, needs a little help. Even if you have trouble admitting it. You know, it doesn't matter how long you've been in sales. The more you learn, the more you earn. It's just that simple. And if your sales needs help, it may be time to consider the Gittimer Learning Academy. It's the fun and easy and gamified way to brush up on sales fundamentals and learn some new advanced strategies to close the next deal. You know, sales, closing, that's what it's all about. Or creating the atmosphere where the other person wants to buy. We have hundreds of hours of lessons on closing, referrals, prospecting, you name it. You won't find a more comprehensive library of sales knowledge anywhere on the planet that you can actually use 1 minute after you learn it. Go to GittimerLearningAcademy.com today and sign up for a free demo. I love free, and so will you.
A tennis club here in Toronto, there were six pros, and there'd be always adults coming in and asking for tennis lessons. Actually, a lot funny you bring up the hockey team. A lot of the Toronto Maple Leafs kids were, Max Domi was one of them, and Shane Corson's kids were playing there. And it was almost competitive because you had the other six coaches, and you all had to almost fight for who would get the private lesson because you wanted to fill your calendar. So at a young age, you had six people there, and it was like, person walks in, you got to almost build rapport, build relationship with the people coming to the tennis club so you can be the one getting those lessons and not your peers.
Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. This is Sell or Die, the only sales podcast on the planet that isn't afraid to say you're either selling or you're dying, because there's no second place in sales. Win or go hungry. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, author of The Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Gleckow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute. And today we are going to help you sell like hell.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a great guest coming up, but first, we want to introduce you to the one, the only, our man behind the curtain, behind the glass wall.
Wait, it's a glass window.
What? It's a metaphor here. It's okay. Our amazing producer, Mr. Doug Branson. Hey, Doug.
Hello, Jeffrey. Hello, Jennifer. I want to remind everyone they can subscribe to this podcast and share it with their friends on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Overcast, wherever you get your podcast. Just search Sell or Die and make sure to leave us a review. We always love getting feedback from the diehards out there.
Five stars or nothing.
That's
Doug
right.
Doug sounds amazing on the mic.
We're the Uber of podcasts. We want a five-star rating.
Except we don't rate you. You only rate us. And don't forget to join us for Motivation Mondays, our live sales meeting on Facebook.com/Jeffrey Gittimer. We put on the podcast feed as well. But if you join us live on Facebook, you get to see us, interact with us, engage with us, ask us questions, or just say hello.
Okie dokie. Let's get to the rest of the show. It's time to sell or die. Today's guest is the great Sean Finder, founder of AutoClose. Grew up as one of the top North American tennis players in the world. Quit at age 23 to go after his MBA. Started his first business, Exchange Leads, in 2013 as a way to help salespeople build their contact lists. And then he founded AutoClose in 2018. Please help me welcome the great Sean Finder.
We are glad you're here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, for
you're
sure.
More than welcome. As a Canadian, I'm assuming that you have some hockey team that you like better than others. You probably like the Leafs because they're pathetic and you're in Toronto.
Yeah, I do like the Leafs. We watched them last night finally win a game, but going up against Boston in the playoffs once again is making me a little bit nervous.
Well, we should really send you a picture of the Stanley Cup because you haven't seen one in 30 years. Tell me about your tennis endeavors, because Jen is a very avid tennis player, and I want to know what it was like to win and what it was like to lose.
Yeah, so playing tennis till the age of about 18 competitively, and then teaching it for 10 years, it was I probably learned a lot of my entrepreneurial and my sales skills actually from teaching tennis. The reason why is I was at a young age teaching and playing, but I was always talking and working and teaching people about twice my age that I can learn from. So I guess and also the competitive spirit and the competitive in me came from my early tennis days, starting off as one of Canada's best, trying to become a professional until my mom told me you have to either go the professional route or go the education route. And I didn't have much of a choice at that point, because at that point there was never a Canadian tennis player that really did anything. So I had to go the education route, and now I get to watch all my peers still play on TV.
Well, that's pretty cool. What are some of the similarities that you find between sales and tennis?
So, you know, for sales and tennis, it was, you know, when I was teaching at a tennis club here in Toronto, you know, there were six pros, and there'd be always adults coming in and asking for tennis lessons. Actually, a lot funny you bring up the hockey teams. A lot of the Toronto Maple Leafs kids were, Max Domi was one of them, and Shane Corson's kids were playing there. And it was almost competitive, because you had the other six coaches, and you all had to almost fight for who would get the private lesson, because you wanted to fill your calendar. So at a young age, you know, you had six people there, and it was like, you know, person walks in, you got to almost build rapport, build relationship with the people coming to the tennis club, so you can be the one getting those lessons and not your peers.
So don't you have to have balls for both?
Yeah. You have to have three balls, usually at least a minimum of three balls, in your can of balls. But, you need to have balls for both. Definitely. And especially in sales, you got to be willing to take no's and answer and try and convert any no you ever get into a yes.
I think you should have a tennis ball as a business card, and because you can get them printed, I'm sure.
Yeah, and yeah. You know what? That's a good idea.
Thanks. And yeah, package them in pairs, and then go for that.
Two balls on each side, right?
Yep.
Oh, man. So your first company, which was Exchange Leads, that you started in 2013, where did the idea for that come from?
So that's a great question. So I was a VP of sales for a computer software company. And at that point, we were buying data, we were giving it to our sales reps. And the sales reps kept complaining to me, you know what, the quality of the database that you're providing us is very low quality. We're making the calls, the phone numbers are wrong, we're emailing, they're bouncing back. And I'm not going to mention the company, but at this point, I was looking at the company, I was like, this is a $1 billion company that's selling data. And they can't even get the quality right. So what I did was, I said, you know what, I'm going to try and build a database, but more focus on not quantity, but quality, and see if I can steal some market share. And at that point, that's how I started the data company, Exchange Leads, which still is integrated with AutoClose. But that was how I came up with the idea, and then found, I guess, the right developers and the right people, because I'm not a tech person, more of the sales marketing side. And then got them to build me a platform that would allow people to download and use high quality contacts.
Wow.
So you have to like check them or something? You send an email to see if it bounces back or it doesn't?
So great question. So initially our model was similar to the old Jigsaw model, where it was like a crowdsource model. So we had clients all over the world that would upload their contacts. We would then validate them through ping the servers, as well as we have a data research team out in Eastern Europe that would actually manually check all the contacts, and then we'd only put the valid contacts in. But the clients would then get points that they can use to download new contacts. So say, for example, you upload 10,000 contacts, 8,000 are good. We gave you 8,000 contacts. Our database continued to grow. And now you're happy because you just doubled your database as well.
Hmm. Cool.
I like that.
So how does that morph into AutoClose? Tell me about what AutoClose is, and then tell me about how that morphs into the, because it sounds like I don't have to do anything. I could just hit a button. And the guy enters.
That's
the
like every
card.
Salesperson's dream.
Yeah.
Show up.
You said it.
Like have a little conversation and then boop, auto close.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how it syncs was we had Fortune 100 companies in Canada and the US that were using our database, but then we had like about 10,000 clients that were loving the quality and be like, Sean, where do I email the contacts from? Like you've given me the contacts, but now I don't know what to do with them. So it actually came in our first year, and I looked and I said, you know what, the Canadian government's going to take a lot of money from me. So I can either A, pay them in taxes, or B, build a new platform and call it research and development. So what we did was we built the AutoClose which was the automation part, so people can now personalize and personalize their outreach and email people. We put the white labeled our Exchange Leads database and put that into AutoClose. So now not only can you reach out and do all your follow-ups and send emails to people, but you can also use your own database or tap into our database of, you know, 25 million contacts and email those people for your outreach.
So let me give you a personal example and you tell me how you how this would work. Perfect. So we have something called the Gittimer Learning Academy. It's Jeffrey's Learning Academy. Yep. And we sell it to sales managers mainly who buy it for their salespeople. So one sales manager may buy it for 100 salespeople. Yep. Okay. How would that work with your solution?
Oh, perfectly. So how you can do it is you would simply go in and you would create your, say, 7 email follow-up sequence. You'd introduce Jeffrey and then you talk about the program. So you can build that sequence out 8 emails. The second step would be you can go through our database and go, okay, today I want to target sales managers in New York. So you click sales managers in New York, you press add to campaign. So now you've added, say, 5,000 sales managers in New York to your campaign. The next step is you build out your content. So you want to build that sequence of 8 emails, 10 emails, 5 emails. And obviously you want them to nurture them through that to teach them why they should get the training course by Jeffrey. And if they reply and say very interested, they're taken automatically out of the sequence. If they don't reply, they continue to get those emails until they say, you know, yes, I'm very interested, or no, take me off your list, et cetera, et cetera. And ideally, what you do at the end is you can track all the statistics. So you can say, okay, we sent 500 people in New York that are sales managers, 40% open, 13% clicked on the website, 5% clicked on my calendar to book an appointment. But you can track everything all inside the platform in one place.
And so do you help people with those emails, or is it up to the person to come up with really good emails?
Great question. So currently, the client will go in and build their own content. However, just in the last week and a half, we had about 5 clients come to us and ask us to do it. So it's not a current division we have within AutoClose, but it's something that we're definitely looking at to expand into, because it looks like a lot of people don't know what to write or don't want to write the content.
Or write shitty content.
Yeah.
I have stories for you. From what I see, I get calls all the time, and it's a funny one was actually I had somebody call me and said, wrote the content, Sean, your software, I got a 0% click rate. Send me the content. Sends me the content. Well, sir, the reason why you had a 0% click rate is because there's nothing in your email to click. And I get those calls all the time. So he had no website, nothing in there. And he was mad because he had a 0% click. I'm like, you can't have something click if there's nothing to click.
That's classic.
What have you seen perform best in terms of click rate? Like, what gets people to click?
Yeah. So the most important thing to get someone to click is your subject line. Because nowadays, most people open their emails on their mobile phone. So if you're writing a subject line that might be 8-10 words, well, your prospect's only going to see the 2-3. The first 2-3. So if the importance of your subject line is at the end, they might not even see it. So I always say, keep it short and sweet. And you want almost, you don't want to have clickbait, but you want to have it very personalized. So what works personally for me is, like, for example, sell or die plus AutoClose. You know, something very personal where I've mentioned, you know, your podcast, but I've also mentioned my company, or, you know, hi, Jeffrey, and stuff like that. That will really help people open the email and get them inside.
And so the challenge for you is to sell AutoClose, but to give people a way to use it and do it in a manner that might be successful for them based on your knowledge and your experience, not just relying on their purchase.
Good. And perfect how you say that. Actually, last week we just launched a new feature because of all the content and the 0% click rate. We launched a feature that now when you're building out your template, we'll actually coach you through how to create that template. Therefore, if your subject line is 10 words, we'll have a note, like it's called AutoClose Tips, and we'll say, Jeffrey, try and use 2-3 words to get this conversion, or we'll highlight any spam words that might be in your content so you know you should remove them, so that when your email is actually sent, you get them delivered. So we actually coach now people through it inside the platform, which is a new feature we just launched last week.
That's cool. Diehards, if you're listening right now, you're probably thinking the same thing I am. that Sean and Auto Close should sponsor this podcast.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. But let's assume you're from Canada and you're a cheap bastard like most Canadians. You can skate backwards. You can use your backhand, but you're not going to cough up the Canadian shekels. What do they call that thing? The loonies.
The loonies? Yeah. If we can pay loonies and toonies, we can talk.
Okay, cool.
Oh, man.
This is Christy Walters.
And I'm Jeff Bajorek. Together, we host the Why and the Buy podcast, and we are pumped to be a part of the Sell or Die podcast network.
The Why and the Buy is a show about tackling sales and leadership challenges that salespeople and small business owners face every single day.
While we have a lot of fun doing it.
I'm a dad. I'd like to think I'm not a terrible dad, but I'm a dad, and I make bad jokes.
I love it. That's what happens when you start a podcast.
If you like making a lot of money and being super successful, then sure, I suppose.
Jeff and I have been there. We've lived through it, and we're here to share the lessons we've learned. So subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Stitcher, or wherever you get podcasts. And remember, when you know your why.
Your hows and your whats get much better. We'll talk to you again real soon.
And mic drop.
This is a real important thing now for salespeople because they're listening to something that might help them make a sale.
Yep.
And auto sounds like you just do it. But from what Sean is saying, you have to also work. You have to create the emails. You have to create the campaign. You have to get the response. You have to get the clicks. Yep. Correct?
Yeah. So there's four steps. Building out and searching our database can take seconds. And obviously, the creating the content is what you have to do. Because once you do that, you press start a campaign and you're off and running. So it is a little bit of – you gotta, I guess, build the engine for the car to run. But once you build the engine, the car just goes.
Well, if you're doing it that, I would say first you have to build the engine and then put gasoline in the car. Because if you don't
The gasoline is the data.
I don't know. My car doesn't take gas.
Yeah. It's electricity. So if you plug it into gas or electric, then you have a shot at running down the road. If you have an engine and it ain't moving anywhere, then you got an engine.
Exactly.
So it's pretty intriguing what this whole process is all about because in essence, it's a funnel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that funnel has to lead me to a place where I'm willing to click and pay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you want to, in your body paragraph, you'd probably want to put some sort of call to action. Like what we put is we use like a Calendly where we say, hey, book 15 minutes, book on our calendar. So ideally what it does is while we're doing a podcast right now, AutoClose is running for all of our salespeople and people just go through the process. They click on the calendar and then, we pre-qualify them with some questions. And then we know when we go into the demo, we know a little bit more about our prospect. But at that point, it's all automated because people just book on your calendar directly from AutoClose.
I want to go back to something for a minute because we've heard that you say you can get a sales rep 38 meetings a week. And that's huge. What are some of the steps to doing that?
Okay. So what we do is we combine AutoClose, but we also combine a lot of social selling. So we're very big on LinkedIn, reaching out to people and also connecting with people. So, having as many connections and followers as you can. So what we do is Calendly has been a great tool, as I mentioned. So we put Calendly in just about everything. So when we're on LinkedIn or reaching out to somebody, we try and get them into our calendar. But I would say just on Tuesday, we sent a newsletter out, which goes out every Tuesday, and our marketing team had about 28 demos booked this week, just by creating valuable content, engaging with people on LinkedIn, reading and seeing what people are writing on LinkedIn and getting in conversations. But then taking those leads and those emails, putting them through AutoClose to automate the process. So you can have LinkedIn running, you can have, AutoClose running automatically, to try and fill the funnel.
I understand that, but closing isn't just having a meeting. Closing is making a sale, correct?
Oh, well, closing is because we're probably the first person to have an internal database inside the platform. So you have a lot of people that do the automation. You have a lot of people that sell data, but having it all in one, when we do a demo, I would say out of the 28, our salespeople are converting a big percentage. And it's not because I would say, well, they are great salespeople, but it's also the customer service and the platform itself really helps people by having it all automated, that people can say, okay, I can save 10, 12 hours a week without prospecting and doing those cold calls, but have it all automated.
So,
okay, wait. How do you get paid? Is there an auto pay? Or does the salesperson actually have to go through the give me your credit card number bullshit?
Great question. There's two ways. So we have two parts of the platform. A is just the automation and just use auto close. So you can go on, have a 14-day trial, sign up yourself. It's all automated because, you know, I can't pay salespeople. It's $49.99 a month for that. So salespeople don't do that. They go through a 14-day trial. It's all automated. They pay. They do everything on that. With the database, though, we actually have to show them the database, show them the count on how many sales managers we have in New York, et cetera. We send a Panda doc out, and then we just send a deal out, and everything else is automated as well. So it's a very quick process for the salesperson to close.
Let's look at 2020.
For those of you who don't know Panda doc, it's like so you can sign it within the system. It's like I forget the other one that people use, but it makes it easy to sign a contract, basically.
It's like DocuSign.
And DocuSign. That's the name. Yeah. Okay, so we have these 7 extra meetings a day-ish. What should they be closing out of those?
So that's a great question. So, you know, what we've recently done is obviously pre-qualifying them is very important. One thing originally when we launched about 15 months ago now, we were just taking on all demos. But now we got to kind of prioritize and pre-qualify, like how many users they have and stuff like that. But I would say with our product, they close, I would say we quote about 70% and then we close about 30% of that. So we would close out of every 10 demos, we're closing anywhere between 3 to 4, but we quote about 7 of every 10 demos we do on a daily basis.
So that's an additional like 12 to 16 new closes a week for a salesperson.
Well, so I mean, you have to.
That's huge.
The sales cycle depends. So if you go right in and you know you have the decision maker on the phone, sometimes it might take 2 for the data because the data is a lot more than just auto close. Sometimes you might get a sales manager on the phone. They say, "Well, I have to speak to my CEO," or a sales manager says, "You have to speak to the VP of sales." So you might have to do 2-3 demos, sometimes 4 it.
Mm-hmm.
But if we went after sales managers and you close one of them, that might be a 50-person sale.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
I would say our average sales team, though, right now with our product is anywhere between 0 to 20. So it's not – we're trying to move up to that more SMB middle market. Mm-hmm. We're not there yet. So as we continue to add more data to our database, add more features, we should get there. But right now, you know, we have some clients that have 5 users. We had a client yesterday that signed up 26 on AutoClose. So – it does range, but we're more in the smaller right now, I guess more small companies.
So when you launched AutoClose, you launched it with over 3,000 prospects who were ready to buy. What are some of the steps you took to get there?
So that was interesting. What I did was because we had exchange leads running, 6 months before we even launched, or almost 8 months before we launched AutoClose, we built a landing page. And then what we did on the landing page is we kept getting emails, but we kept having people feel like they're a part of us building AutoClose. So we would send out surveys and questions and ask our prospects or our email list, hey, what do you think? Hey, we just finished this part of the software we want to show you. And we give 15, 20 second videos of what we're building. So it's like, building, buying a condo or buying a condo and watching them construct it and build it. We made our people feel like they're a part of it 8 months before we launched. And we actually did a launch day. We sent all those people an email and they were so excited because they've been looking forward to 3 months, 6 weeks, 3 weeks, 2 weeks. And when the launch day came, we had over 250, 300 calendars booked within the, and we only had 2 people at that time.
Wow.
So we had that was in November, I think, of 2017. And then we had to hire 2 people. I had actually 2 of my friends in Toronto to come in, learn the product in the boardroom, and then be able to do demos because we couldn't do all the demos that we had booked.
That's a problem everyone wants to have.
You're not kidding.
So I love that.
Do you also provide sales information on the site? So if I want to know how to ask a question, or if I'm selling automobiles, or I'm selling refrigerators, or I'm selling new homes, or I'm, whatever my product is, I'm selling auto parts, or do you provide me with sales information so that I can ask the right questions, or is that up to me?
So content-wise, right now, we just built that feature that helps kind of like with the spam words and stuff. But inside the platform, there's like an FAQ where we actually used Go Video and Vidyard. And we did videos, about 35 videos 2 weeks ago for everything inside the software. So if you ever have a question on how to use the personalized video, for example, you can click on the video and watch a 10-second video. We also have intercom, which we use for our live support, et cetera. We have six people, I think it's 12 to 14 hours a day. They're in Eastern Europe, so they're there in support. And they kind of walk you through how to connect your email, how to search the database. Any questions people have, they answer.
For our diehards who are selling over the phone, like your sales team, and trying to get these meetings and then give demos, what kind of obstacles do you see most happen? Like, do you see that sometimes people book a meeting and then they don't show? And if that's the case, how do you get them back to rebook? And what kinds of things do you do to really make sure they're going to show up?
That's very funny you asked that. Actually, yesterday I posted a big LinkedIn post on that. That exact same question yesterday afternoon. So what we do in-house is we do get a lot of people that don't show. I would say we get about 30% that don't show, or they rebook and they reschedule. But what we've done is we've actually put them into an auto-close campaign. So we've built a campaign called Missed Demos. And as soon as somebody doesn't show up, we go into our mini CRM, we click on them, we put them through a campaign, and then every 48 hours, we're saying, we noticed you missed your demo, do you want to reschedule? And until they actually click on our Calendly to reschedule, they continue until they say we don't want a demo or we don't have the budget, et cetera, they continue to get those follow-ups. So it's all automated. We just push them in and they get sent it all the time.
And do people ever like manually intervene and then get annoyed with the auto follow-up?
Well, it all depends on if the person does the auto follow-up. I mean, there is portions where you do auto follow-up gone wrong. Like some people might put the brackets and type in first name and then contact support and be like, hey, I said hi, John, to 42 people. Didn't plug in their first name. So what I recommend is you preview all of your emails. You send a test email to yourself to make sure it's all spaced correctly and stuff. Take the extra 5 minutes and pay attention to detail.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have stories. I mean, we have actually in our live support, we have like our notes section, and we're always joking about clients saying the questions we get asked on a daily basis are really funny, John.
Oh, I'm sure.
I can imagine. But with all due respect, the frequently asked questions are about your software and how I implement it. What I'm talking to you about, or what I'm asking you about, is the sale that I have to make as a customer.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you giving me to help me make my sale?
Yeah. So what we're currently implementing, we're currently hiring more customer success managers that will be like onboarding. So once you sign up with the data, you can actually have calls and they will coach you through what to put in your body paragraph, what would be better as a follow-up, which should be shorter follow-ups. So currently we don't have anything inside that will actually coach you through it, but we are looking at different ways to do it, because ideally, the software only works if the content is correct.
Right. And what are you using as a source for your content?
Well, right now the customers are creating. No.
Our account manager and our sales reps actually help provide from using other successful campaigns that other clients have. They try and coach our clients when they're on the call. Like if a client says, we're not getting good results, can you help us? We'll jump on a call with them and try and coach them through. But we don't have anything in place that will actually coach them through email by email right now.
Yeah.
No.
So I just want to get some more of your sales knowledge before you go, although I love learning about your product, only because I think our diehards are going to want to have this info too. So, okay, person finally shows to the meeting, or hopefully shows on the first time, and now your rep demos it. How do you get them to close it on the sale? And if they don't on the call, and if they don't close it on that first call, what is a proper follow-up?
Okay, great question. So usually you can tell within the first 3 to 5 minutes when you're doing the demo if that prospect is going to close on the phone or if they're not decision makers. So that's what we do. And then once we go through it at the end, we ask them if they like the product. And if they say, yeah, we love it, well, then what's stopping you from buying it today? And then if we have to do some sort of small, discount or something to try and encourage them to buy it on the spot, we do it. But if not, what we do is then we put them through a very, very thorough follow-up process. So say you do the demo, the person says, I'm interested, I have to talk to somebody else. We'll follow up and send the quote. And then what we'll do is we'll say 24 hours after, we'll say, hi, Jeffrey, I'm just confirming you received the quote. So I'm not actually following up to see if they're moving forward or not, but I'm just trying to confirm if they received the quote. And then, you know, 3 to 4 days after, we might say, we would just basically continue to follow up until we get them engaged with us. But then we'll kind of use some social selling as well to try and ping them to try and reply quicker.
I guess when you get to the 9th email that they haven't responded to, you start out by saying, hey, douchebag.
We usually say A, B, C, or D. Is it because you don't have the budget, you're not interested, you're using a competitor, or you want me to leave you alone?
Yeah. You're a dipshit.
And what do you think is too much follow-up?
So that all depends. I would say there's two different types of follow-ups. With not a demo, with a cold prospect, you want to do, I would say, 7 to 10 and more follow-ups. But if you have a warmer prospect that you've built that rapport with, you might want to only do 3 to 5. And I would say usually you want to give like a 1 week before you even send that follow-up if it was a cold prospect or warm prospect, simply because, you know, spring break was, you know, a few weeks ago. There's holidays always. People get sick. People, you know, I had a client, someone yesterday that had a tragic personal accident that, you know, he needs to extend it. So give that first week. And then after that, I mean, you know, you're in sales, you got to be persistent. If you're not persistent, you're going to lose a sale to your competitor. So what I tell is be persistent, but not be annoying.
Cool.
I'm both.
Me too.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say I'm both.
Oh. Well, I have to tell you that we would be interested in doing a trial in front of thousands and thousands of people.
For sure.
To see if we can get it to work in our environment.
Yeah.
If you would be interested, you know, we'll figure out a way.
We'll chat.
I'm going to send you 7 emails to see if you're interested. And then if you're interested, we can set up a demo.
No, I think we can start.
If you know me, I'll reply to that first email. I always reply to emails. So either yes or no, I'll always reply.
That's
hey,
really cool.
Thank you for coming on our show. Stay on after we wrap this just so we can chat. But this has been amazing.
Yeah.
Great value for our
and
diehards.
And great idea
so
on your part. Great idea
yeah,
on your
for
part.
For sure.
Thank
okay,
you
Sean, you take care of your wonderful self. Work on your backhand and your forehand. And our people will contact your people. Actually, they will. Okay, thanks for being on Sell
or Die. I look forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Another fantastic episode of Sell or Die is now in the books.
Let's let the listener be the judge of that.
You can be. Subscribe. Rate and review our show today. In fact, right now.
Or if that sounds too complicated, tell a friend.
Tell both your friends.
Because if you're not selling,
you're dying.
We're leaving.
Au revoir.
Shalom. Sell or Die Hard. Love the show? Make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard, and we thank you.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.